affordable accommodities. Following the Eid al-Fitr holiday, 75% of the customers at the Badlands Gallery 24 outlets opted to purchase gold bullion, primarily in denomination ranging from 5 to 100 grams. This trend reflects a growing preference for gold as a safe haven investment amid global economic uncertainties. To meet this demand, Badlands offers various gold-based investment products, including installment plans, savings accounts, and gold deposits. And that was the news.
Indonesia today with your host Ray, and of course, we're listening right now. Indonesia is having good news coming from everywhere, just like this. Republic of Indonesia's government to encourage imports of U.S. products, said Minister Hartarto. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto met with the U.S. ambassador to Indonesia, Kamala S. Lockbeer, to discuss Indonesia's efforts to prepare fiscal and non-fiscal incentives amid the United States tariff policy. The incentives aims to encourage the imports of U.S. products and maintain the competitiveness of Indonesian export to the U.S. The reciprocal tariff of 32% imposed by the U.S. on Indonesia will come into effect on April 9, 2025, unless negotiated further. The minister said he will pursue several strategic policies as a negotiation measures in response to the U.S. tariffs.
Hey, hey, don't go with the kid, you say the queen, come on, come on.
Just deeper butters, which we're not in with all good. And what comes good? Of course, the Indonesian film that always improving each year, and of course, this year also. Right now, we are going to have a special interview about the improvement of the Indonesian film in Indonesia. So stay tuned with us always in Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in nine language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and by streaming on VOA News.id and RFE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Fashion, Indonesian Wonder, Kisahani, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Music and Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Voice listener, over the decades, the film industry has evolved, reflecting the nation's culture, struggle, and aspiration. And today, we'll explore its journey, the challenges, and the triumphs of the future holds for Indonesian filmmaking. And right now, joining us is a special guest we'll talk about in VOI Talk, about the million stories won Indonesia. With our special guest, we have here Riri Riza and Julita Pratiwi in today's special interview. How are you guys today?
Hello, thank you. I'm fine. It's a very sunny morning, so it's lovely.
Yes. And Julita, how are you today?
Hi, thank you for having us here today. And yeah, I'm really excited about the talk.
Yes, because from what I can heard, Riri Riza just came back from shooting today.
Yes.
Okay, about what movie? Of course, we'll ask about it later. But right now, the talk is about the Indonesian film industry. And my first question to both of you first, to start it off, what do you think about the film industry in Indonesia today? Maybe not just around the market, but also around the parliament as well. Is there any changes that you feel in Indonesian film industry right now?
Did you first or me first?
Maybe Riri first.
Okay, thank you very much for having me here. I think it's always exciting to every time we approach the National Film Day, which is celebrated every 30th of March, marking how as a nation we are value our history related to film. Indonesian filmmaker has produced so many good films that very much contextualize the history of Indonesia and reflected in the silver screen for the past 75 years. So if we talk about today, the condition, I think film is always can be seen as a reflection of the social reality of a nation. I think filmmakers always try, whether they realize it or not, always like in a way like an artist, writing, thinking, or responding to the social reality. And there are some films now, there are some efforts now, either in front of the screen or behind the screen, that has been done to keep the momentum rolling. But I think Indonesia as a nation today is, you know, facing, you know, so many challenges and difficulties, you know, like what happened to the music scene, the punk band Sukabani, which was forced to apologize because what they're saying through their music, for example, the threat to the freedom of expression and freedom of press is something that also, you know, started to intrigue our stability and our, you know, how we see our distant future in the film industry. I think the economic situation is also will be challenging. Because you know, film is very much related, if you talk about industry, film is much related to the reality of the economic situation. And now there are some changes happening, you know, in terms of when I talk to fellow producers, that the investment situation started to change, they started to have doubt whether investing in film will be something that is still promising in the next few years. So I think that is the situation. But at least, you know, I'm very happy, like you said, I just finished shooting, finished production of a film, which is going to be released sometime at the end of the year. So definitely I hope today, you know, millions of Indonesian still rely themselves on, you know, see themselves in a big screen, see their problem, you know, reflecting in some artistic interpretation by filmmakers, by us, in the cinema, and expecting our film in the cinema this year and the future.
Okay, for Julita, what is your comment on that?
The thing that I'm really happy every time we pass a march, it's a way for us to celebrate the National Film Month. I like what you say, March 30 is the National Film Day. It's where everybody, not just filmmaker, but all the film stakeholders gather. So I kind of like want to see more into like a bigger picture, like just film industry, but the whole film ecosystem, where the scholar, the film critics, the film historian, or film archivist, film programmer, can get together and talk about the discourse of Indonesian cinema each of the year. And it's a way for us to reflect the history, what has our past filmmaker ever made to develop and create a diversity toward Indonesian cinema. And I kind of found it like, you asked about how is Indonesia film ecosystem today, I kind of feel like there's a tendency to be more diverse and inclusive regarding the genre and the opportunity toward the new, younger filmmakers. And as a person who came from like a young generation and not came from a filmmaking tradition, but more into like an archive and a scholar tradition, I quite admire the emergence of a new filmmaker like me. And like what Riri said, like they have an attention to reflect from the real life. So as a young generation, I kind of feel like the film is quite related with our Indian basis. And of course, like in other parts, we should also be aware with the conditions of today's regime, like the government, how could the government can support film, not just industry, but as an ecosystem as a whole. And because I kind of like, I always learned from my favorite generation after the Cultural Revolution 1998, how Masiri and everybody attempted to preserve the idea of freedom of expression, try to put up the importance of democracy. And I still remember like 2007, Masyarakat Sipil Indonesia, how they are forced to
to put up the case of Indonesian film censorship in the Supreme Court. And I kind of feel like as a young generation, and maybe it also can be a chance for the future generation in the political system, how can we still preserve that spirit and never let down with anything that happens? So like, I think persistence is something that also need to be aware for today and in the future.
Okay, such an amazing intake. And you, both of you said that the current trend in Indonesia movies is about the change of the region in Indonesia, where we used to only have movies that played in the market or the public is about horror and religious. But now, both of you said that it is more relatable. Just like now, we have more movies about Batak ethnicity and many ethnicity in general. Movies like the ethnicities of Jawa, Jogja, and others like that to be more relatable to the media or the market of the Indonesian cinema. And what do you think about that, the upbringing of the ethnicity in Indonesian movies?
Maybe if I can comment on that. I think it's very important to realize that Indonesia has this strength in diversity, and I think since the early days, sort of our founding fathers of Indonesian filmmaking, filmmakers have started to tell stories from different regions of Indonesia. We have a film, for example, like Harimau Champa, which is based in West Sumatra. Not only the location, but talk about the tradition of silat, for example. And in the 70s, we have films like Rambut, and also all the way until the 90s. And nowadays, the potential of Norwegian journalism, how filmmakers is now came from different background with different tradition of cinema because of their interaction, their education, their way of communicating themselves with their own lingo. I think it has become something very that growing significantly for the last maybe 10 years. We have filmmakers from Makassar who won award in Berlin, for example, with their stories. We have many documentary filmmakers that made a film about their communities in Kalimantan, how they face the environmental challenges there, and their film becomes very subjective and very personal, and yet bringing very global and universal issues at the same time, because they live in the area. Filmmakers actually live and shoot in real time, expressing what their restlessness about the changes or the threat that they're facing. So I think it's very important development, and I think it started to grow in many levels, in the area of, for example, short films, documentary, but also in commercial film that's shown in the cinema, publicly, national release. So that is something that for me is very encouraging, and it shows that filmmakers take control of what they want to say. Of course, I think we need to also grow the tradition of film critiques, film discussion in the community, so filmmakers can also reflect and think further about what they're doing with the presence of film critiques, and academics in different areas, in this different region too. That's my thought on that.
Okay, you said why the critics of the Indonesian film, and what I can say is Indonesian people really love to critique films, and they have really a deep understanding of films that they make, because from a point of view of researcher, I would like to ask Jolita about the, as a film researcher, what do you think about the Indonesian citizens of critiquing films and maybe thoughts of Indonesian cinema?
I kind of feel like the culture of critics is quite important. It's a way to build up a film literacy among the public. And I kind of feel like it's also connected with the spirit of post-1998 reformation and the accountability of the media, where people can put their opinions, like back then people put it on the magazine or the newspaper, but now people can make their own video and make a critic using their YouTube channels. And there's a lot of platforms like Blogspot or WordPress, etc. And I kind of feel like it's a way to build up an active participatory throughout the public. So like the awareness of film elements and the logic about the films how the reflections or the admiration after watching the film is came from the public voices, instead of just concentrate on the elite or the expertise, and instead of seeing like film critics as an exclusive sector. I kind of feel like this film literacy amongst the public is a way to build like the inclusivity about the critics as like a culture. And I think it's not just about the film, but like people started to talk about any other art, like music, like installation, or like let's say like a series, and I quite embrace that sort of spirit.
Okay, so speaking of the Indonesian movie and filmmaking, I'd like to ask both of you, Riri as a film producer and Jolita as a film researcher. Indonesian movie makers, filmmakers make really good movies, and I'd like to ask, in festival films is really the part where filmmakers can express their thoughts and make their imagination come to reality and make it into the film. And which part of the world where Indonesia's filmmakers or maybe festival film type of movies is really popular? In what country?
I think film festivals definitely is part of the ecosystem to promote the progress of cinema in general. Film festivals is a very important avenue to promote the contemporary state of filmmaking condition how a country is actually developed their own identity of cinema. Our Indonesian cinemas lately has a very significant progress positioning themselves in the international film festival, because for example, nowadays we have some short film directors, short filmmakers that not only selected but won awards in some major film festival, like in Cannes, Venice, in Italy, or in Berlin. More and more producers attending film markets, which is not only in the film festival, you don't only show film, but you also started to talk about the potential of your future project. And they have they have platforms for filmmakers from all over the world to come to promote their concept, their proposal, and get it
possible to have like a collaborators, co-production with, you know, different countries from all over the world in the film festival. So what I'm saying is, for the last, I think, 10, maybe 10, 15 years, filmmakers from Indonesia, producers, directors, writers, have, you know, more and more engaged with the global community through film festivals, not only showing the film, but also compete in some of the very important competition. So if you ask me in which country our film is popular, I think in many important Asian film festivals, like in Busan, Korea, or in Tokyo, Japan, and also in Rotterdam, in Netherlands, and of course our film now getting more and more noticeable in the major festival like Cannes, because you know, Mori Surya success in 2017 with Marlena, the murder in Porsche for Hack, was you know, getting strong attention there. Filmmakers like Camila Andini, Yosef Anjin Moon, you know, they're, you know, they always have their presence every time they have Edwin, you know, every time they have their new film, they're always like invited in this major film festival. So yeah, the thing that we need to pay attention with is like Gigi just mentioned before about the role of government. I mean, you know, Indonesia should see this as a potential to actually promote our development as a country, because cinema is definitely like a window to see how a country is developed in, you know, in culture, in politics, in social, you know, how the quality of films is actually one thing that you can be like reflecting, you know, the reality of a nation, like we always believe. And so government, I think, should, you know, understand this further. Should the government should work together with more, you know, with prominent producer, Indonesian producer, to discuss how to position ourselves effectively in this map. You know, because I think sometimes they see it as like only one side of just the presence, you know, but not like a, you know, like an elaborate strategy that can run for like a long time, you know.
True. The government, from what I've heard, is you would like the government to support the filmmakers and improve the Indonesian film industry so that Indonesia can be more publicly acknowledged by other countries, right?
Yeah, but you know, with like a good strategy and with actually talking to the right people, because I think sometimes in Indonesia they spend you know, money on it, you know, but it's not really like an elaborate strategy, you know, and we need to make sure that actually we know what we have, we understand the strength and the power of the films and the quality that we have, and then, you know, we have to work together to actually to choose the right platform for it, you know, to publicize it.
I see. And for Julita, what is your take on that?
I mostly agree with what Makiri just said. And also, the important thing is don't let the opportunity of this actual casting of film just like the government see it as like a fragmented awarded, but without knowing what actually the meaning of all this present and award that Indonesian filmmaker has received, or the international acclaim or recognition that our filmmaker received, that like what's next, that is also the thing that's quite important, because besides coming to the film festival, I think the thing that we need to pay attention is also about the discourse, because maybe my friends, the one who knows more about this, like maybe like Busan Film Festival, offer this idea of Indonesian Renaissance. Like, how do we respond on the idea of the Indonesian Renaissance that's been offered by one of like a quite major Asian film festival recently? And the thing about when we talk about discourse, it's not just about the filmmakers, but also it needs to involve like the historian scholar to actually like talk about how do we want to narrate our Indonesian cinema and bring it to abroad, because somehow I kind of feel like everybody's just working by themselves without trying to like gather and like discussing certain principal issues. And the other thing that needs to be highlighted, the spirit to bringing back the film that has been lost. Like lately I heard the news about Tulang, 1957 film by Bakhtiar Shihadian, that's funded in Moscow Film Archive. And the film has been digitized and been presented by Bunga Shihadian in Rotterdam. And I realized that Indonesian film has been traveled to so many regions across the world, but we never really pay attention about this networking that has been quite long. And we didn't have any elements of such films in Indonesia. It's also the thing that the government needs to reflect about the support and the facility of the archive. And we could find it like in the archive abroad, and it's also like a way for all the films like further to reflect about the conditions of because I don't like the fact that the presentation is not just about physical, but also like the idea and the narration in a long term.
Okay, I agree with that, because movies should be put on, you know, like the Hall of Fame from Indonesia. That's why like old movies should be digitalized. From what I can hear, you started to digitalize old movies, like from the Ratna's Asmara, first female film director in Indonesia, that should be digitalized and maybe spread out throughout Indonesia's communities so that people can understand more about the history and appreciate more about film industries in Indonesia. Especially like the works of other filmmakers that went abroad, of course, just like Mr. Piri Reza's work with Akira in 2016, that just went to the festival films, that it should be digitalized. From an archiver point of view, is that really important to archive movies in Indonesia and then spread out throughout the communities to get more attention?
Yeah, the spirit of digitization and restoration perhaps just started in... Let me think, it's like around 2011 and 2012. The first collaborative project of restoration was for Usma Ismail Film, Lawat Jamalam. It's a collaboration of Yayasan Confident, Cinematic Indonesia, and National Archives of Singapore, and also World Cinema Foundation. And since that, like, the spirit to digitize and also restore Indonesian classical film has begun, although it's not like in a phase that is quite slow due to the limitation of human resource and also technological resource that we have, but I kind of feel like there's also this spirit of activism and collectivism toward the process of reviving the old films, because like we can see that cinema is also like the way how we see our past memories, and by seeing an old classical poem is the way for us to feel like how is our cinema back then, like the aesthetic that's been explored by Usman Ismail, Abdul Asmara, Bakia Siajan, and so on, and what can today's filmmaker can learn from the things that they have explored back then in the past. And for my experience with my collective in Class B Arsip, I don't feel that this kind of initiative cannot be done by one person, oneself, like only one film or one film researcher. It's truly a collaborative project that involves film archivists, film programmer, and because the thing that we also critic is somehow like the film that we just saw or digitized aren't easily being accessed by the public. Like once it's digitized and it's just being informed and that's it. And the challenge is how can the public see it and get access to like all this restored or digitized films. And besides doing this digitization and research project, we also attempted to give like a public literacy by establishing like after awards discussions or like a public lecture. Yeah.
I see. Okay, that is such an amazing insight from you. And of course, thank you so much, Masbiri and Kajolita, for coming to this special interview right now. And before I close, I would like to ask, Masbiri, is it okay about the film that you are currently producing right now? Is it okay to tell me a little bit about it? And maybe I would like to ask, since the movie is the Ranga and Chinta, as you guys know, since in the modern era, Ranga is ghosting Chinta from the old movies. Is there any like modern aspect in like Gen Z ghosting through like the phone, not just leaving it alone?
Thank you. Yes, I think Ranga and Chinta is a very exciting project for us. It was based on our own film that we did back in 2002. I think it's almost like what we talked to discuss about with Juju before, that actual film can be a very, very interesting way to see ourselves and see our history, reflect on our history. In 2002, you know, what happened was, you know, we just went through the reform, political changes in Indonesia in 1998, and that is somehow reflected in the film Ranga and Chinta. So Ranga and Chinta is basically a remake of that film, still in the same era, right? So you won't see, you know, the Gen Z today, but think about it, it's actually It's an opportunity for the Gen Z today to actually see how Gen Z lived back in the early 2000s, with the reality that they went through those days. Not that much access to social media, not much distraction. They can be, you know, like a true friends that actually talk to each other, you know, gossiping about boys or boys gossiping about girls, or, you know, social competition with true, you know, face-to-face reality. So I think it's very interesting to see how the new generation react to the film. To our early release when we announced our cast, we got very, very exciting response from the Gen Z through their social media of how they see this generation, you know, being told today. And I think that the approach of the film will be, you know, somehow the musical ones will be higher, more highlighted. So musical has been very, like a genre that's been very popular today. And not just today, you know, we Usman Ismail, you know, the founder of national cinema, has done a musical back in the 1954-55 with Pianara or Asramanara. So yeah, I think, coming back from it, you know, I'm still having like sort of like a creative jet lag, you know. I think it's very exciting to show this film to Indonesian audience in a not very long future, you know, hopefully before the end of the year.
Okay, I hope the best for your work right now, and thank you so much, Riri and Julieta, for coming to this special interview in VOI Talk. And of course, dear listener, as we celebrated the 75 years of Indonesian cinema, it is clear that film is more than just an entertainment, but a reflection of our stories, heritage, and also the evolving society. Thank you so much for accompanying me in this special interview. I'm Ray, and
hey, this is all with you. That is collaborative content from various national programs, including Live Before Broadcast, Blind Radio Broadcast, Music Place, Podcast, Media News, and various music and culture features in the game.
You and I.
Yes.